We bless her right now in your name. Lord, I thank you for this time, for your word. And Lord, I pray you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And that Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place to confirm the word through signs and wonders and miracles. That you would confirm the word according to the will of the Father. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, for your presence here this morning. And it's all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to read through 1 through 13 of the, is how far we've made it now through, and so this is kind of my amplified version of it. Hopefully it kind of captures everything we've learned. It says, my brothers, do not be many teachers. Do not assume the places of greater influence, knowing that we will receive greater judgment. For we stumble and are tripping all in many ways. If anyone does not stumble inward, this one is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we thrust bits in the mouths of the horses for them to obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships also, being so great and being driven by violent winds, they are directed by a very small rudder, where the violent impulse of the one steering purposes. So also the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how little a fire kindles how large a forest. And the tongue is a fire, a system of injustice. So the tongue is established among our members, defiling all the body, and setting on fire the cycle of the generations and being flamed by Gehenna. The fire is used to sacrifice the next generation. And I want us to remember that verse in verse 6 where it says, so the tongue is established among our members, defiling all the body. Okay? Verse 7 says, truly as the case stands, every natural disposition of not only wild beasts but also of birds, not only of reptiles, but also of sea animals, is being tamed and has been tamed to the natural disposition of humans. Yet the tongue, no one of men is able to tame. It is an unrestrainable evil. Its nature is to injure, distended with poison with which can only end in death upon the completion of its course. By this we bless God and the Father, and by this we curse men, having come into being according to the image of God. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, it is not fitting for these things to be so. Does the fountain out of the same hole send forth the sweet and the bitter? My brothers, a fig tree is not able to produce olives, or a vine figs. So neither can a fountain produce both salt and sweet water. Who is wise? Who is skilled in forming the best plans and able to use the best means to execute them? And has perfect understanding, having systematic knowledge, and expert among you? Let it be evident by the ideal manner of their actions. In meekness, a disposition in peace, trusting God to defend against every injustice which comes from true wisdom. It continues on. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is not wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, beastly, and devilish. For where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. But the wisdom from above is firstly truly pure, then peaceable, forbearing, yielding, full of mercy and of good fruits, not partial and not pretended. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for the ones making peace. Verse 14, we're going to kind of break this down a little bit. We're back to that place that we went through this once before several months ago. And I just saw Marilyn and I want to go back here and give her a hug. Happy Mother's Day. Marilyn had a little accident. I just wanted to hug her neck and tell her I love her and make sure she's okay. It's good to see you this morning. And everybody else too. I'm sorry. I just had a moment there. I can stop and give her a hug if I want to, right? Joe wants a hug now. Yeah. Group hug. Yeah. Now we have the thank you, Bruce. Yeah. All right. And if you have well, we're going to learn. If you got a little bit of that going on right now, we're going to learn what's going on here. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. If you have bitter jealousy, okay, in the Greek this says, but, as is the case, Okay, it's saying, if you are blessing and cursing, if you are blessing God and you are cursing men, if you've got everything that it was talking about prior, in the prior verses to this, what it's saying is, but, as is the case, if you have bitter jealousy, that word bitter means harsh or virulent, okay? Virulent means extremely active in doing injury, very poisonous or venomous. I think James is making a point here. We've hit some of these things. The tongue being distended full of poison. I mean, I think these are pretty, when you start studying it, he was speaking some pretty brutal things right in your face. There's no pulling punches on this one. So the bitter jealousy, it is a virulent jealousy. It is extremely active in doing injury. The jealousy is zelos. It's where we get our word zealous. It's excitement of mind or ardor, fervor of spirit, zeal. The part that really jumps out at me, and I think more of the context of what James is talking about here, is the punitive zeal. It is a zeal that is you're zealous to punish. Okay, it's in this punishment. So it is a harsh, it is an injurious, and a feeling in you that is injurious and to emulate. And to emulate means, or to be jealous means I've judged myself as less than someone else, and I feel this overwhelming desire to rise to the same level or over them. I don't like that feeling of less than. Okay. Zodiades, which is he is a scholar of the Greek language. It's one of the references that I use. I quoted this. It says, according to Aristotle, zelos grieves, not because another has the good, but that he himself does not have it, and seeks to supply the deficiency in himself. However, zelos may degenerate into a jealousy which makes war upon the good it sees in another, thus troubling that good and diminishing it. That is why we see zelos joined together with the word contention. You see those two words together often in Scripture. That's what it kind of gives you an idea. Years ago, it's been quite a while ago, I brought a stepladder in, and we were looking at this verse and then in understanding jealousy. If I am provoked to emulate, okay, I brought a stepladder in here, and there's two ways to stand on top of the ladder. You can climb the ladder and stand on top of it, or you can knock the ladder over and walk over and stand on the top of it. Okay? When we are jealous, when there is bitter jealousy, we come to that place where in and of your own efforts, if you can't rise to the level that you see somebody else as, if you can't in your own efforts rise to that level, your only course of action is to tear them down. So we begin to tear down the character of the person and tear down the good that is in them. We tear it down. We begin to judge it and to make them look bad in another person's eyes. We begin to tear their character down so that we look better. That's what it's talking about. The word contention is aretheia. It's electioneering or intriguing for office. Apparently in the New Testament, a courting distinction, a desire to put oneself forward, a partisan and fractious spirit which does not disdain the low arts. Low arts being manipulation, witchcraft, those kind of things. This fractious spirit, if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, it means that you will tear down the character of the other person and you will divide people and cause them to have to pick sides. Are you on my side or are you on their side? So it's very dividing in a church body. It will split. I mean, a lot of the churches that are right here in Corning are birthed out of church splits. And I guarantee if everybody was to pray about it and really look at it, you would see bitter jealousy and contention that led up to that church split. Okay? But it is a spiritual thing. The same word was found before, and a lot of when you're looking at the Greek, a lot of times you want to see how is that word used outside of Scripture? So you get a proper definition of that language. And Aristotle's writings are a lot of those things. It says the same word was found before New Testament times only in Aristotle's writings, and I won't go through all the numbers, where it denotes a self-seeking pursuit of political office by unfair means. Okay? So I'm looking to divide and conquer is what it's describing here. Then it says, do not boast and lie against the truth. And I went through this, when we went through this several months ago, this is the point where we reached when God says, no, I want you to start at the beginning of James. Well, we're back to it. Here we come. And I'm like, the first time I went through this, we hit bitter jealousy and contention in your heart pretty hard. We looked at that and broke this down. This is kind of a review up until this point. And I remember when I went through this verse, it says, do not boast and lie against the truth. The Lord didn't have me focus on that. It just kind of skimmed right over the top of it. The focus was the bitter jealousy and contention. This week, this is what just jumped out at me. I couldn't get away from this. It says, do not boast. Anybody want to pronounce that word? It's the Greek word. I'm not even going to try. Kata kahachamai. How's that? I'm only going to say it once. There we go. It means to glory against, to exult over, to boast oneself to the injury of a person or thing. And the key in this is to boast against. That word kata means down or against in the beginning of that word. It means to boast against, which means if I'm going to boast against something, that means I'm comparing myself to something else. I'm boasting against that. Okay? That's why that key, the key to this, I think this verse, or understanding this word, is it's talking about boasting against. This isn't about me just boasting and showing you how talented I am at anything. This is me taking someone else and showing you how my talents or my character is greater than theirs. I'm making you compare. Okay? And I'm casting theirs down in order to make me look better. Are we together still? Okay. To boast, I just looked these up in the dictionary. To boast means to brag or to vaunt oneself. To make an ostentatious display in one's speech, one's own worth, property, or actions. An ostentatious display. And I just kind of went on this little run through the dictionary. So ostentatious means making a display from vanity, boastful, fond of presenting one's own endowments or works to others in an advantageous light. Okay? And we're going to use some of, we're going to pull some of these all, we'll put this all together and show you an example when we get through this. It means to make an ostentatious display. It means to present my endowments or my works, my character or my skills and talents, my work to others. It means that I would present that in an advantageous light, meaning it's advantageous for me. It's to my advantage to show you how good I am. Nobody's ever had that problem, right? Okay. And lie against the truth. So we got these words, and I'll put them all together here in a minute. It says, do not boast, do not make, do not present your endowments or your works in an advantageous light against other people, and lie against the truth. That word lie means, in the Greek, is pseudomai. It means to lie, to speak deliberate falsehoods, to deceive one by a lie, means to lie to. The Greek language, this is when this gets really interesting. In the Greek language, you have the tense of the verb, you have the voice of the verb, and you have the mood. Okay, and all of those mean something. The Greek language, in the voice, you have active, middle, and passive. And we've talked about this before. Active, I punch Eric. Passive, Eric punches me. Middle, I punch myself. Okay? So, I slap Eric, Eric slaps me, I slap myself. Middle voice, I'm doing this action to myself. Okay? This word in this scripture is middle deponent of pseudo. And that word pseudo, when you see NF, and this is just, I throw these things out there because I'd love to see people do word studies. And if you're going to do word studies, and you might as well understand what these little symbols and things are that you're seeing. You do a word study on this, and you come across that, and it says NF in parentheses. It means that Greek word pseudo is not found in Scripture. Okay? But it is where they get the word pseudomai. So they go back to it, and it says this is a middle voice, deponent of pseudo, means to cheat, defraud, or falsify. Everybody follow me? So here's the middle voice. This is how it describes it. The middle voice indicates the subject performing an action upon himself. I slap myself. Okay? Eric punches himself. Whatever works. It is reflexive action or for his own benefit. For example, the boy groomed himself. Many verbs which occur in the middle voice forms are translated in English as having an active sense. These are called deponent verbs and do not comply with the normal requirements of middle voice. Long story short, in translation, you lose what this word is saying. There's no way of translating this in English where it carries the same verb form forward in it. Okay? When you read this verse, it's saying that, now remember, middle voice indicates the subject performing an action upon himself or for his own benefit. Okay? So if I'm lying to myself or I'm lying to you for my benefit. But I'm still the one doing it and the effect is to myself. Follow me on this one? Wait till you see this come together. This gets really interesting. James? Now that gets into the mood. That gets into the mood and all that stuff. Okay? All I want you to see is right now is this word lie, to lie against the truth. That word lie means that you're doing it to yourself or you're doing it to others for your own advantage. Okay? It will go both ways. The middle deponent of pseudo means to cheat, defraud, or falsify. To falsify, and both of these work together. Defraud and falsify. To falsify means to counterfeit, to forge, or to make something false, or in imitation of that which is true, as to falsify coin. To disprove, to prove to be false, as to falsify a record. Okay? To defraud means to deprive of right. Either by obtaining something by deception or artifice, or by taking something wrongfully without the knowledge or consent of the owner. To withhold wrongfully from another what is due to him. To prevent one wrongfully from obtaining what he may justly claim. Okay? So, in that word, it means to defraud or to falsify. Back in verse 9, it says, by our words, we bless God and we curse men. We falsify the record and deprive of right. Eric, come up here for a minute. Bruce, will you come up here? No, there'll be no punching going on. All right, Lord, walk me through this here. I'm lying. Means that I falsify the record. Eric, when he put his faith in Jesus Christ, by faith he was justified. By faith he was legally pardoned from the penalty of his sins. By faith he was adopted into the family of God. By faith his spirit was regenerated again. He was born again. And by faith the Father declared him sanctified. He is sanctified. If I speak against him, if I lie against the truth, okay, if I have bitter jealousy and contention against him, and I boast against him and say that I am better than him and I rise above, I'm lying to myself and making myself something that God has not created me to be. And I've made him less than, meaning I have falsified the record of God against him. God's record declares him sanctified. God's record declares him born again. God's record declares him a part of his family, his child. God's record says that he has been legally released from the penalty of his sin. So if I'm condemning him and I speak against him, I falsify God's record of who Eric is. And what I've done is defraud myself of an expression of who God created him to be. I have defrauded myself of an expression of God in him because I falsified the record.
Doesn't this get back to the same thing? You could take us back to body, soul, and spirit.
Oh, yeah.
We have lost sight of who we really are.
This is it. But we keep speaking things against other people. And this is what hits me. Every time if I speak against Bruce, I falsify the record of God. God has recorded in the book of life, he is justified, he is adopted into my family, he is born again, and he is sanctified. He has been redeemed. And for me to make a mark against Bruce and say that he's less than me or more than me, I have falsified the record of God. Whew. I went, whoa. If I falsify the record against myself, If I lie to myself, I'm falsifying the record of who God says I am. I've defrauded both of them of seeing a true expression of the glory of God which He created in me. If I judge myself and put a mark against myself, I am falsifying the record of God, what He claims, what He has declared I am, and I have deprived them, defrauded them of a true expression of the glory of God. Think about that one for a minute. If Bruce speaks anything against Eric that is not of the Holy Spirit, that is not of God, Bruce falsifies the record of God in Eric's life. And not only does he falsify that record, but he defrauds himself of seeing and knowing a true expression of the glory of God. You guys can sit down now. This keeps going on. If you think about it, if I say something against Eric and Bruce hears it, this is where the contention starts coming in. If I say something against Eric and Bruce believes it, now he has come into agreement with a falsified record. And then somebody else says something against Bruce, and next thing you know, this whole thing just keeps on going, and we're running around wondering why we don't see a true expression of the church. Why we don't see a true expression of the glory of God within the church is because we keep falsifying the records of who God declares each one of us to be. We falsify our own record, and we defraud others from being able to see a true expression. We falsify their record, and we deprive ourselves of seeing a true expression. I went, whoa, God. I mean, this all went in my mind. I started thinking about it. Man, how many people have ever been a bookkeeper or reconcile accounts or anything like that? We're talking about falsifying records. Are you in trouble if you add a zero to a check before you put it into the bank? Somebody writes you a check for $100 and you add a little zero in there? Would you be in trouble for that? It's no different than falsifying the record of God. God has a record of who He's declared each one of us to be in His Son. For me to speak against it, when He's justified, the righteousness of Christ is imputed on Eric's account. For me to speak anything else other than that is to try to falsify the record of God, the Creator, who declared Him righteous. Wow. This kind of makes me go, this takes judgment and stuff all to a whole new level for me. I went, what? You gotta be kidding me. And I saw the whole middle deponent and why you can't just translate that into English, because it worked both ways. Yes, I'm lying to myself, but I'm also lying about someone else for my advantage. Or I think it's to my advantage. Actually, I'm robbing myself. Every time I speak against someone else, I'm robbing myself of who God created them to be. I'm speaking lies into them, and when they believe it, if I tell Eric, you're a piece of trash, and I keep telling that, the day he believes into that, I've robbed him of it. I've robbed him of life in Christ Jesus when he believes into that, because I've lied. That's not who God has declared him to be. We bless God, and we curse men who are created in the image of God. We falsify the record of God and who He claims us to be. Proclaims us bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I started thinking about it in terms of those four doctrines: justification, adoption, regeneration, and sanctification. You got four different accounts there, let's say. You got four different bank accounts. And you know, when you're pushing numbers, all the accounts. In order to be reconciled, all the accounts have to be in place. All the accounts. If you've got money and you've got different accounts and all this stuff, the books, anybody, IRS, tax person, anybody should be able to sit down with the books, and there should be a paper trail and a number trail to everything that goes through there, and it should all balance, and that's called reconcile. One account does not speak against another. They all gel, right? When Christ hung on the cross and said, it is finished, all four of those accounts were absolutely perfect. The judicial acts of God, justification and adoption, and the creative acts of God in regeneration and sanctification, both the creative acts and the judicial acts of God went perfect and balanced and reconciled our account. We are redeemed. Praise God is right. Who are we to speak against that account? We lie to ourselves and we defraud ourselves from a true expression of the church when we speak against our brothers and sisters. The truth is, if they're in Christ, they're in Christ. Who am I to speak anything different than that? If I'm in Christ and I choose sin and I know better, am I not falsifying the record of God? God has declared me righteous. God has declared me free from sin. He says, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. He has erased my sins. He became sin for me. He took it, He became it, and He defeated death in that. For me to choose that and walk back into it intentionally, knowing what I'm doing, is to falsify the record of righteousness against me. It's to take the merit of Christ's perfect life and put sin right in the middle of it. Because the righteousness of Christ is on your account. If you believe in Jesus Christ that He died on the cross for your sins, if you are saved, the righteousness, the perfect life of Christ, all the merit is imputed onto your account. That's what the Father sees. So to choose sin is to falsify that perfect record of Christ.
Got quiet.
It's why it's not okay. It's why it's not okay to have judgments in our heart towards ourselves or towards other people. Or God. Some of us judge God. It's not okay. It is sin to have judgment. Scripture says, do not judge. So when we judge one another, when we speak those falsehoods, when we falsify the record, it is sin. It's not okay. This is what we end up with. Bitter jealousy and contention in your heart. Do not boast and lie against the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I look, in the Greek, that word truth is the same one in another scripture when Jesus says that He is the truth. We lie, we falsify against the truth. We falsify against Christ. It's standing Him up here and I'm standing here and Jesus is saying, Eric's righteous and I'm pointing out the fault. I'm coming against Him. And I begin to tear Him down in front of all of you. What I'm doing is I'm taking on the truth. I'm taking on Jesus Christ. I'm taking on His declaration of who He says He is. I begin to judge Him and the argument's taking place. And if I can get all of you to believe in the things that I see that are so bad about Eric, then guess what? I've won the jury over, basically, is what I'm saying. And I'm trying to cast down his arguments and saying, you know what, Jesus, I appreciate what you did on the cross, but you're just not, you're a little off on this one. Have you seen Eric lately? James? We're what? Yeah, we're bringing accusation, just like it describes Satan doing when he comes in the beginning of Job. So suddenly he's appearing. What you see is a courtroom type setting. And he comes in and the Lord says, what have you been doing? He says, I'm going back and forth, searching to and fro upon the earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? The devil brings accusation. He says, the only reason that he's serving you is because you just keep blessing him. You take everything away from him, he'll curse you. Here comes the argument. And this is what we're doing. We do the same thing. We're bringing accusation against one another. What about the person that maybe they don't know Christ at this point in their life? But have we laid down our soul and our judgment of them in order to see who God has created them to be so that we can speak those words of truth into their life so that they would believe that rather than, you need to stop doing that. That's what we tell them. We keep declaring their own actions back to them and they already know what they're doing is wrong. But we keep pointing saying, you need to stop doing that. And that's not the truth of the whole matter. The truth of the whole matter is we really know who we are in Christ. We'll stop doing those things anyway. We won't have those kind of struggles. If we knew who we are in Christ, would we really start falsifying the record of other people? If I really believed into what Christ says about Dawn, would I dare speak against that? Ooh, still quiet in here. I'm trying to fire everybody up. Oh. So was I when I studied this. I sat there just going, wow. Yes. Amen. Amen. He is able to make them stand or fall. He brings rain on the just and the unjust. He does this work. It's His perfect work. Are we going to get in harmony with it or are we going to keep falsifying the record? Who are we trusting? So I kind of wrote it this way. Do not make an ostentatious display, presenting your own endowments or works in an advantageous light. You are falsifying his record of you, and in turn defrauding your neighbor of a true expression of the image of God. In turn, you are making them less than in your boasting against them, thereby falsifying God's record of them and defrauding yourself of a true expression of the image of God created in them. Whew. It makes me not want to talk to anybody anymore. It's like, I think I need to watch what I'm saying. We need to watch what we're doing. But, enter. True. But that's what we're not believing into if we're going to continue to curse our brothers. That's the problem. We're not really seeing into that. We're not believing into it. Because if we did, we wouldn't be speaking against one another and judging one another. We'd see each other through that. Okay? This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, beastly, and devilish. And I'm going to hit these simple today, but I don't know if it's next week or as the Lord leads, but we really need to see this. This is not wisdom coming down from above, but is earthly, beastly, and devilish. Earthly meaning is epigeos, meaning existing upon the earth, it's earthly or terrestrial. Now, I had this question, it's like, okay, if epi takes everything to the supernatural, then how does this work? What does it mean, supernatural upon the earth? This is taking place, it is upon the earth, but you can't see it. Okay? This is happening. It's there. This is wisdom that is not coming down from above, but this is wisdom that is earthly. This is the wisdom that's upon the earth. You can't see it. Anybody, can you ever see wisdom? What's wisdom look like? Okay? You can't see it, but it's upon the earth. It is beastly. That word beastly in the Greek is psukikos, and it means soulish. This is soulish, meaning this is the wisdom that your mind, will, and emotions function in. This is how we think in and of ourselves outside the Spirit of God. This is the wisdom that we have. We begin to tear down. We begin to compare. We begin to falsify the record without even knowing. Somebody said it. It's like we do this without even knowing it. Yeah, this is soulish wisdom. This is us. And it is devilish. Daimoniadet. I missed that word. There's the word in the Greek. Okay? Daimoniades. And it means resembling or proceeding from an evil spirit, demon-like. This is where we get our word demonic. Demonic-like. It is demonic. It is of demons. Which, and if you notice, this verse is saying it's earthly, terrestrial, physical realm. Soulish, soul realm. Okay? In the soul dimension. And spiritual, but it's in the negative or on the dark side that we was talking about earlier. In the spirit, you have negative and positive, or you have darkness and light. Spirit is spirit, but you also have two dimensions within the spirit. You have the dark side of the spiritual realm, and you have the light side of it. Okay? This is in that, this is hitting all of those dimensions. Physical, soul, and spiritual realm. The big question, and what I want to teach on, is can a Christian, we're sitting here today, can a demon influence a believer? Yeah, well, some of us would say yes, some of us would say no. And there's arguments to and fro, denominations disagree on this. This is what, if we can't scripturally prove it, we got no business touching it. Okay? That's what will be presented. Bruce?
Somebody asked me where Julie was. And I said she's home babysitting. She's with Ashley. And they said, how old is Ashley? And I said 24. But we can't leave her alone. Because in the past she's stolen credit cards and taken things from people, and we're not at liberty to leave her alone. That's not wisdom from above to share that with somebody else.
Hmm.
That's earthly, soulish, and devilish. That's being influenced by the demonic.
Mm.
To speak that kind of, I mean, that's what we were talking before.
Mm.
To lie against the truth. The truth is that actually means so much to God. That he asked you and I to put our lives on hold, open our homes, and spend our finances and our resources, our time and our energy to see that she's taken care of it and that she's reunited with her baby, if at all possible. That's the truth of God.
God asked you to sacrifice so that the record of who Ashley is in Christ Jesus would be expressed to the rest of us, that we would see it. Wow. Thank you. That took a lot of humility right there. That is hard to say that, but this is what I want to see, is this is what I want to show, is that can we be affected by the demonic? Because this is divided churches. Right here, this argument has divided churches. Rather than going back to the scripture and being able to prove it. Okay? And that's where my goal is in the coming weeks as the Lord releases, is to be able to show you how this all functions together. Spirit, soul, and body, tabernacle, these verses, all of this is beginning to come together where you can actually see it and understand it and recognize it in our own lives. Isn't that the key? Recognize it in our own lives? Just like what Bruce is sitting here reading this today, hearing this, and all of a sudden he's relating it to his own life. And all it does, there was the beginning of repentance right there. That was it. We've got to start seeing it differently. And as soon as we repent, Christ is right in the middle of that. Christ is right in the middle of that. It's right at the record again. Jesus steps in and goes, it's okay. Done deal. But we've got to see it and allow him into the situation first. Okay. Earthly, soulish, and demonic. Then it says, for where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. So if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, wherever those are, there is confusion in every foul deed. Confusion. Oh, I said this word 15 times this morning trying to get it right, and I'm... Yeah, read it. Instability, it means instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, or confusion. It's just like those four accounts of who God says I am: justified, adopted, regenerated, and sanctified. When I begin to falsify the record, okay, that means if I'm speaking against, in terms of defilement, maybe let's say just for discussion, I am falsifying the record of sanctification. It's no longer in harmony with the rest of the three, with the other three. Does that make sense? If I begin to speak against it and say that they're not saved, or challenge the regeneration and the new creation that Christ has created them to be, I am taking that account and I'm defiling it, and now there is confusion in all four because they do not reconcile anymore. Make sense? If you do books and you're handling money in different accounts in a business, if you rob from here, it's going to throw all of them off. They will not reconcile. Okay? I think we got that principle. It brings instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, or confusion. It means it is devoid of stability. So as soon as I falsify the record of God against me, now I'm unstable in who I am in Christ. Because I've judged it. I falsify the record of who he declares me to be. And we wonder why we're unstable. We wonder why we can't seem to just get it right. We wonder why we continue to choose sin. We wonder why all of these things are going on. We wonder why we don't see unity in the body of Christ. We wonder why we don't see a true expression of the church. It's because we've falsified the records. And until we get Christ in there to reconcile the accounts again, to wipe away and to bring it back to the way that it's supposed to be in him, we will not see a true expression of it. It means we are out of harmony. And it cracked me up last week because I was just standing up there. If you remember, I used the guitar about being out of harmony. And if you got a string out of tune or anything like that, there is no harmony to it. And that's what it's all about. And I said that not knowing where Lee was going to teach or what was going to be said. And I just saw the Holy Spirit in all of that. It's talking about harmony. There's no harmony in the body because we keep untuning each other. breaking strings. Yeah, we break strings, we do all these things and wonder, why isn't it making music? Why doesn't this sound good? We keep grabbing one string and stretching it out of shape and wonder, boy, that thing just doesn't sound good at all. Don, you sound terrible. You know what I mean? We keep picking on people saying, you know what, the words you use in those just, we're speaking a different language. We keep detuning, we keep falsifying the record of one another. And there is confusion, and every foul deed, and every foul deed means just that. Every foul deed. Every foul practice. Any time that there is bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, there is confusion, and every foul practice will be recognizable when that's in your heart. Whew. Kind of brings a whole new light on judgment, doesn't it? Not only am I falsifying the record of the other person, but I am defrauding myself. I am robbing myself from recognizing a true expression of the glory of God in those that are around me. I think about my children. Wow. We wonder why our homes are out of harmony. We had an out of harmony day yesterday. It just felt weird from beginning to end. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amen. And it's not about I'm out of tune or I have it and I don't want anybody else to know it and we disappear. It's, wait a minute, if this is speaking to you and there's a problem, all you got to do is go, you know what, Lord? I need healing. I broke me again. I falsified your record against me again, Lord. Whatever it is, get him into the middle of it right then. And man, he can tune just like that. He reconciles the account. All he does is bring it right back to the cross, the completed work that's already been done. He brings it right back to the cross every time. And everything in the cross goes right back where it's supposed to be again. Amen? This is the hope of the redeemed, is it not? This is our hope. That in Christ Jesus, I'm reconciled to the Father. All the accounts balanced. I don't have to worry about a thing. All I got to do is keep this whole thing in Christ. All I got to do is learn to walk with Him. Amen? He is not out of step. It's up to me to get in step with Him. And He will even teach me. He'll teach me and He'll tell me, you know, you're stumbling on yourself right now. Just keep walking. Come on. And the longer you walk with Him, the more you learn how to get into His pace. You learn how to just get into step with Him. You learn to hear His voice more clear. There's no distortions. You learn how to see the true record of who He claims others to be. And it's because you learn who you truly are and what He claims you to be. I could just feel the room fill up with hope right now. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Bruce, will you close in prayer for us this morning, please?